All right, welcome to another episode of Living in the Light podcast. I'm Sawyer. This is Riley, and today we're going to be talking about a biblical view of politics, which is a very, very heated issue. There's a lot of arguments regarding politics among Christians and non-Christians. What are you doing? Among Christians and non-Christians. We just want to go talk about it a little bit today and what the Bible actually has to say on it. So, Riley, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so first off, what does the Bible say about politics? Is when you're talking about something, of what does the Bible say about it, you want to go straight to the Bible, find anything that it says on this topic. So the Bible is not a political manual, and that is obvious.
Yeah.
It is a political manual as much as it is a science textbook. But it gives us some teachings and some examples that should inform the way we think about political policies. And for something that, for like with the election coming up this year and everything, something we should be looking for in the candidates is biblical principles. Do they have biblical principles in there? Are they Christian? Do they have biblical beliefs? It doesn't matter what they've done. Well, I guess it doesn't matter what they've done in the past, but doesn't really matter what they've... I don't know where I was going with that, but we should use our voice and vote in the ways that honor Christ.
So for what does the Bible say about politics? I had five things I wanted to mention about what the Bible says about politics and government. I include that in there because that's kind of the same issue. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is that according to the Bible, we need to be involved in politics. We need to vote because there are a fair amount of Christians who aren't planning on voting this election. And they use different reasons. I might talk about a little bit of those later when I'm talking about the different candidates and we talk about some other things. But we need to vote and be involved in politics. I have at least two reasons we need to be involved in politics, and we need to vote, and we need to do our part. The first one is just to protect life. As Christians, we should be highly concerned with the life of the unborn. In a past episode, it was called? Worldly Issues?
Worldly Events.
Worldly Events. You can only find that on YouTube, so if you're listening on Spotify or another platform, you'll be able to find that. You'll have to go to YouTube to find that. But in that episode, we talked about abortion and why it is very clearly wrong from the Bible. We won't go over it all again here, because like I said, we already went through it. But in our current political climate, the issue of abortion is massively heated, and as Christians, it is more important now than ever in the current political climate we're in to do as much as we can to help the lives of the unborn and to put an end to abortion. And so we need to use our ability in this country, because America is unique in that everyone in America has a say in what happens, because we're a constitutional republic, technically, but we're a democracy, and so we all have the ability to have a say in how the country is run. And so we as Christians need to use our voice and be willing to vote and do what we need to do to make sure that abortion ends. The second thing I had was the Great Commission. Mark 16:15 was the Great Commission. Jesus said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is simple. From pretty much the beginning of time, secular nations have always tried to silence Christians and keep them from sharing the gospel, because to someone who hates Christianity and refuses to acknowledge the truth of God's existence, they do not want anyone trying to convince others of the existence of God. And so what we need to do is we need to be willing to use our voice again, and we need to vote, and we need to do our part and be involved in politics so that we can make sure our country stays a country where we're able to tell others about Christ. Because just look at like China, North Korea, what are some other nations? The Muslim nations.
Vietnam and stuff
that. Nations like that. You can't tell others about Jesus Christ without risking imprisonment, torture, and death. Because that's just how that country is. And so we need to be involved in politics, A, to protect the life of the unborn and to fight against abortion, and B, to make sure we always are able to have the freedom and the right to tell others about Christ. The second thing I had about what the Bible said about government and politics was that we need to obey the government over us, obviously. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And Hebrews 13:17, which says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. These two verses make it clear as Christians we are to obey the government over us, so long as they're not telling us to do something contrary to God's word. Obviously, if the government says, go murder people, don't do it. If the government's telling you to do something contrary to the Bible, then you're free from the obligation. But if they're just saying, like, don't kill someone, don't steal something, don't speed, or something like that, then you should, as Christians, you should obey the law, and you should obey the government as long as it's not contrary to the Bible. The third thing was we need to pray for our leaders. This is a really important one. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
We're still good.
We're still going?
Right.
All
right. Yeah.
So, sorry, the screen went black for a little minute. Try to figure out what's going on. Is it still working?
I think so.
Anyway, so we need to pray for those that God has put in authority. We need to pray that God will guide them and that God will help them to make wise decisions. And for most of our leaders in America, we need to pray that God will show them their need of himself and help them to see that they need salvation, they need Christ in their lives. And the fourth thing, I won't do all five, mainly because the fifth one got deleted on accident. So the fourth thing was God is in control. This is extremely important right now. The election is coming up very soon. And a lot of people seem to be very scared of how this is going to turn out because they know that America will be a completely different country after the elections, depending on who's elected.
Yeah, this election is something that, depending on who gets voted in, will change the path that America takes for a long time.
Probably irreversibly.
Yeah, and it could have some major consequences going on.
Yeah. So this fourth point is God is in control. Daniel 2:21 says, "And he changeth the times and the seasons, he removeth kings and setteth up kings, he giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." And Romans 13:1 said, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be are ordained of God." Ultimately, yes, obviously, we don't want to have bad leaders in control. The Bible says, I think in Proverbs or Psalms, that when a wicked ruler is in charge, the people mourn. Because when wicked rulers lead, everything is bad. There's obviously not going to be any good things that come from an evil ruler. So obviously we want a good ruler, but we need to remember that the Bible also says not to put our faith in men. And I think it's also in Proverbs, might even be like the same chapter, it says not to have your faith in princes and kings, and like not to have your faith in those in charge of you. Have your faith in God, because God is the one that put them there. And if they God wants them removed, he will remove them. And so those are just some things I want to talk about, because like I said, there's a lot of fear and nervousness with this election because everyone knows this is huge and no one wants it to go contrary to how they feel it should go. And so we need to just remember that no matter what happens, it's God's plan. God is in control. The Democrats aren't stronger than God, obviously. The Republicans aren't stronger than God. The person that God wants to win the election is the person that's going to win.
Yeah. Even though the Bible may not be a political manual, it does give us examples, and that, but it is hugely political in the first place. And that it is about how God wants his people to behave and act towards him and towards each other.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what your next topic is.
I had, how should Christians think about voting? I just had three things I wanted to mention, because there's a lot of, I don't want to say confusion. There's a lot of people that have different views about what should influence a Christian's voting. One of the first things I wanted to say was there's never, ever has been in history, never once, there isn't now, and there never will be a perfect candidate that just perfectly embodies all the Bible teaches.
Jesus Christ.
It's never going to happen. We're never going to have that. And so let me tell you something else, because some people are confused on this. Donald Trump is not a perfect candidate. I like Donald Trump. He's not perfect, obviously. There are some people that I feel like seem to think that in Christian circles. He's not a perfect candidate. There never will be. So instead of trying to find this mysterious, imaginary, perfect candidate, you need to just get involved in politics and vote for the ones that are the best, because you're not going to find a perfect one. So you need to vote for the one that most closely embodies Christian values. And then also I wanted to say, that we need to vote God's will, which is a complicated thing. I've heard a lot of people, much more experienced and more studied in politics than me, have talked about this. And one of the things they talk about, this is not original with me, it was a podcast to listen to, that they went over this a lot. And they talk about how there are a lot of well-meaning Christians in our country that will tell you they're going to vote for some really small, minor third-party candidate because they don't like Trump or Kamala Harris. They don't want either of them to be president. So they're going to vote for some really small, minor candidate. And basically, this is throwing away their vote, because the minor candidate gets 14 votes every time that party runs, so they're never going to win. And so what you need to do is, this is what they talked about, they said if you want to vote for God's will, there's really only two candidates you can vote for, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, because one of them is going to win. You look at the statistics, you look at the polls, it's going to be Trump or Kamala Harris, that's going to be our president. And then RFK suspended his campaign. He was the only one that had even a small chance of taking away from Republicans and Democrats, and he suspended his campaign in support of Trump.
I know right now the Democrat leader is Kamala Harris, but I don't know if it'll stay that way by the time we get to the election, because I know when Biden did step down, she just put herself up there, even though I know a lot of Democrats don't support her right now. So that might change.
But as of right now, there are only two candidates that could be elected, and that's Trump and Kamala Harris. So basically what this means is it is God's will for either Kamala Harris to be president or Donald Trump to be president. So what you need to do is you need to look at Kamala Harris, look at Donald Trump, look at what they want to do when they're in office.
And look at what they've done while they've been in office.
Yeah, look at their records. And try to fit, because both of them have, well, Trump does as much. He was president. You can look at his 4 years. But Kamala Harris has an extensive political history. She's been in politics for a long time. And so you can look at what they've done and what they want to do, and you look at them and you try to figure out which one you think is God's will, which one you think better embodies biblical values. And then finally, I wanted to say this, vote for a candidate's policy, not for their personal lives. This is a huge issue because a lot of Christians are saying they're not going to vote at all because Trump is immoral. And that is very true. Trump is an extremely immoral man. But the simple fact is his policies are much better than the opponent. And so what you need to do when you're voting for someone is don't vote for them on the basis of their personal lives. Well, that can factor into it. Don't let that be the deciding factor. Because there are people that will say, I like Trump. I want to vote for Trump. I support everything he says pretty much, but I won't vote for him because he's immoral. And that's a problem. Because, like I said, you're never going to find a perfect candidate. Odds are if someone's running for president, they're probably immoral anyways. And so you need to look for what they're going to do in office, not how they live their lives. Because the simple fact is, when you support a candidate for president, you're not supporting their personal moral lives. You're supporting what they represent, and you're supporting their party.
And everyone has issues behind the scenes. There's no person that hasn't done anything that's bad or anything like that.
The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you, that includes me, and that certainly includes Donald Trump and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Tim Walz and everyone else in politics.
Moving on, I'm going to talk about integrity. We need to make sure our candidate has integrity, because if they don't have integrity, then how can you trust what they say? The Bible says in Proverbs 27, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And the best example I could probably find of integrity in the Bible is Job. He lost everything. He had everything taken away from him. Job 2:3 says, the Lord and Satan are talking. This is what it says. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest him against him to destroy him without cause. Later in Job 2:9, after he's lost everything, he's lost his children, he lost all his animals, he lost his money, his stores, and everything. It says, his wife is talking to him, she's like, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Why do you still, have faith in God after he's taken everything away from you and you've done nothing wrong? Why just curse him and die? There's no point if he's just going to take everything away from you without cause. Job still held his integrity. He did not blame God. He just asked God, why? Why are you doing this to me? He still had faith in God that God had a plan for him, and he did not turn his back on God. Job 27:5 says, this is Job talking, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. So that shows how Job had so much integrity, and God had faith that Satan could not shake his integrity.
So I'll actually let you lead off on this one too, because the next thing I had on here was the immigration/border crisis.
Okay, so Romans 13:1-7, he's already said it, basically says to obey the government. Whatever laws they put down, obey them. Acts 5:29 says, obey them unless it contradicts God's law. Because God's law is above man's law, God's plan above man's plan, God's will above man's will. Immigration is fine, but when it's done illegally, it is wrong, because legally, and you should be obeying the country's laws and everything, and because God commanded us to. I love the way that this website put it, short and simple. It says, what is a biblical solution to illegal immigration? Simple. Don't do it. Obey the laws.
Yeah, so I pretty much had the same thing, which was, obviously, you have to obey the law of the land. I already talked about this a little bit. The Bible's clear to obey the government that's over us. I also want to put in one other thing, was, on the issue of immigration, the other thing I had was, the role of the government is to protect the people it's serving. And how can a government be protecting the people it's serving if it's allowing illegal immigrants to enter the nation? The simple fact is, when you let as many illegal immigrants into the country as you want, what's going to happen is you're going to have criminals and terrorists and all these terrible people coming into this our country because they're fleeing the country they live in where they're criminals. And so we have bad people coming into our country from the other countries because our border is open.
And none of them are being checked for anything. No. They could be bringing in illegal drugs. Which they could be bringing in weapons. And
Human trafficking and drug trafficking are massive on the border.
There have been many things where, like, Indian, not resorts, but the Indian tribes where they live, they've had...
Reserves?
Indian reserves, whatever. They have had children taken from there, and they've been taken back across the border, human trafficked back into down into Mexico. We've had a lot of kids just taken because the border's just wide open. Nobody's stopping anything. They're not really even checking the people.
Yeah, I forgot to get a verse on this. I added this kind of last minute, so I didn't have time to add the verse. I know there's a verse that talks about this, but the role of the government is to protect the people that it's serving. The Constitution that says the government is for the people, by the people? It's for the people. You can't protect the people that you're ruling over if you're letting criminals come in and hurt them all.
You're not a country if you don't have borders.
Yeah, then you're just, I don't know what you are then. So that's all I had on immigration. Yeah. The only other thing I had was I would like to briefly talk about whether or not how Christians should view Republican be Democrat. Should a Christian be Republican? Should a Christian be Democrat? I want to preface this. I read an article by R.C. Sproul. I don't agree with them all theologically. Politically, I like him, at least in some areas I've seen. And the question he was answering was, can a Christian be a Democrat? His answer was, yes, a Christian can be a Democrat, absolutely, because Christians do things they shouldn't all the time. And that's kind of how I take it. You can be a Democrat as a Christian. I don't think you should. I have three reasons why you can at least not be a Democrat. Now, if you're comparing the Democrat Republican Party, I would say look at these three things and use those as a basis to decide which party you want to root for. Not which party for, which side you want to support. The first one is abortion. Killing unborn children is something that Democrat leaders are proud of. That's something they take pride in, the fact that they will let you kill as many children as you want. While the Republican Party did soften its, when they came out with their 2024 platform, they did soften language on abortion. They removed the whole thing with the worldwide abortion ban. They did soften the language. Obviously, every pro-life person was just heartbroken when that happened. We were all very disappointed in them. But the simple fact is, they're still far better on abortion than the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party didn't soften its language in any way. They're still saying they want as many abortions as possible. While the Republicans are saying, let's not do that at least.
The thing is, with abortion, is it's the same thing as back in Israel's days, where they worshipped Baal. They would sacrifice their babies to him. The devil's doing the same thing with different tactics.
Yep. Yeah. And so we need to look at the Republican Party, look at the Democrat Party, and think of the issue of abortion. Every Christian should be anti-abortion. The Bible is clear that life begins at conception, and to kill an unborn baby is murder. It's killing a child. And so you need to look at that when you're trying to figure out, should I be Republican or Democrat as a Christian? That needs to be at the forefront of the issue. Abortion is very important to get right. Another one is LGBTQ and that whole thing. The Democrat Party is diametrically opposed to a biblical view of marriage and family, which is one man, one woman, forever. And they don't just support LGBTQ, because that'd be bad enough. What they actually do is they go further, and they want to promote it in schools with children. And then what they want to do is they want to make it so that these children in their schools learning about LGBTQ and transgender ideology and gay pride and all this other stuff, the kids that are learning this, then they want to say, okay, now these same kids, we'll give them access to gender changing surgeries that will permanently ruin their lives. And they don't even want to have to tell the parents. They want these kids to be able to get these surgeries without their parents ever even finding out until it's too late. That is what the Democrats want. They want to take LGBTQ ideology and they want to force it on children. That should be another issue that is massively important. You're deciding Democrat v. Republican. Now, again, this platform, the Republicans did, again, soften their language on LGBTQ as well as abortion. But they're still not anything near what the Democrats are, because they're not. The Democrats are basically building their entire platform on abortion and LGBTQ. That is what Kamala Harris is campaigning on, is the fact that she'll make abortion legal for everyone. And that needs to, so LGBTQ and abortion, very two important considerations. The final one I want you to look at when you're looking at Republican v. Democrat is religious freedom. This one's not quite as cut and dry in the first place. I just want to look at it for a little bit. Look at the policies of Democrats and look at policies of Republican Party. Look at those two parties. Look at their policies on religious freedom. What you'll find is the Republican Party is far more oriented towards actual religious freedom, and the Democrat Party is far more oriented to taking it away. And the simple fact is, like I already talked about, why we need to be involved in politics. If they take away religious freedom, then we can't tell others about Jesus Christ and fulfill the Great Commission without great threat upon our lives and our families. And so we need to be careful to look at these three things at least. There's a lot more things you could talk about, but at least look at abortion, LGBTQ, and religious freedom. Just compare the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. I mean, it's clear which party a Christian should belong to. I mean, the Republican Party isn't perfect at all, but it is still largely known as the Christian Party because it does still most embody Christian values more than the other parties there are.
Yeah, and just so you know, the reason why he had so much information on just like these things, he just read through the RNC, the DNC.
Platforms, yeah.
Yeah, and so he was going, I didn't like do too much research into that because I didn't have time, but.
Yeah. And if you like reading, I would encourage you to do it. It takes a long time. The DNC platform is like 92 pages, I think. So it takes a long time to read through and it's boring, but I did do that in preparation. And so I do know what policies they intend on implementing should Kamala Harris be elected.
Yeah, so that's all we have for this podcast. I hope you guys have enjoyed. I have no idea what we're doing next month. We got to figure that out. And we might start maybe doing twice a month.
I would like, yeah, I'd be
like that. Because it really just depends on if we can get the studying in. But I'm going to see if we can try to get twice a month. Maybe like things like December, we'll only do like one or something like that.
Busy months.
And so, yeah. I think that's all we've got. Okay. So let's go to prayer. Dear God, I pray that you might be with our country as we are headed into an election that could change us for the course of time. It could destroy our country. It could build our country. We don't know. But I pray that you might be with the candidates and that you might be with the people, that we might be able to unite as chaos is going on in the world right now and things are just building and stuff. Pray that you might show this video to people that you know need it. Pray that you might put it out there so people might just see the video and just might see a different way of looking at things and stuff. I pray that you might help us to be a blessing to someone today, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We will see you guys next month.
See ya.